Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. We'll go through verse 12. I think everybody's out of town. Matthew chapter 7, verse. Yeah. We're in Matthew for the 10th year in a row. All right. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. All right, now, let's pray, and I'll talk to you about a generous Heavenly Father this morning, but let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your words and for salvation in Jesus Christ, and Father, that you are the giver of all good gifts. And as we look at that this morning, I pray that it would become clear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying and what he's talking about. And Lord, that we would see the gifts that you give as good gifts. And I think sometimes we don't. But I pray we'd have the right view of the things that you give. And not only what they are, but how they're a benefit to our lives. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning, Lord, and I pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to take your words, apply them where they need to be applied. And again, thank you for this opportunity to get together, to pray, to open up your words, and I pray that we would be fed by you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is, you've got a single thought here, verses 7 through 12, and it may seem kind of disjointed. Verse 12, kind of the golden rule going along with what seems like verses on prayer and things like that, but all these things deal with the same theme that God is in the Bible, and in reality, God is a generous Father, and he's the generous Father. The Bible says in James, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James 1:17. And so God the Father is the originator of every good gift. Now, we read verses like verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you, and maybe think that the gift is one thing, but fortunately, the Bible defines, God defines what his good gifts are. But just to get an understanding of this, the generosity of God the Father, it should be a great comfort to understand that God the Father is generous. He treats people the way he would want to be treated if he were in their position. And that's why he's going to say, therefore, because I've told you all these things, therefore, this is how you ought to treat other people. But the history of God giving gifts is all through the Bible. Give you a few examples here. God gave Abraham land in Genesis. God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac. He gave Solomon wisdom. Whenever Solomon asked for wisdom, he gave it to him. Daniel chapter 1, God, the Bible says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And then probably the most familiar gift in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus said one time, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Several things, the Bible is just filled with verses that describe God giving something, either knowledge, wisdom, help in some way, and he is the author, the source of every generous good gift that there is. The Bible says this, here's another one. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Maybe catch that, the gift of God. That's describing the grace of God as the gift. He'll say it later in Ephesians. He says, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Over in Revelation, the Bible, I'll just read this one to you. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. That's Revelation 1:1. But you see those two words together, God gave and God gives and things like that, all through the Bible. And it shows you that God is a giving God. And that ought to be a comfort. I mean, that's God's nature, that he is a generous and giving God. So then the question, one of the questions that comes up when you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Now, a lot of folks would come to that verse and define the it as whatever they want to define it as. You know, I need a bigger TV. Ask and it shall be given to you. I need a bigger truck. Ask and it shall be given you. I want an ATV, a UTV. I want a fishing pole. I want a gun. Ask and it shall be given. You just describe it as whatever you want to describe it as. Fortunately, though, or unfortunately, you may be disappointed when you find out what it is. So some of you may be disappointed. But fortunately, the Bible defines itself, and I want to show you how God defines the it here and what he's describing that God is going to be generous with people. So the cross-reference to this is in Luke chapter 11. Look over in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. All right, Luke 11, verse 9, says this. It says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what is the it? Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All right, that may be a great disappointment to y'all to find out it wasn't a fishing pole and it wasn't a truck and it wasn't a TV and it wasn't a new iPad and it wasn't a whatever. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the it. It's a free gift. God doesn't charge you a fee to have the Holy Spirit. You don't make monthly payments on the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a verse in Acts where a man named Simon offers to buy the Holy Spirit. In fact, let me just show over in Acts. I get a little ahead of myself, but we'll just look at it. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. So the it is God giving of himself in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's where you're going to get, as you go through the New Testament, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the gifts. Look at that. Here's Acts chapter 8. Here's someone who offers to buy the Holy Spirit and gets accosted for it, or gets rebuked for it, I should say. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You get the idea. Here's somebody who sees the work of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and Simon says, "I want that power. How much does that power cost?" And Peter says, this power isn't for sale. This isn't something that you can buy. It's not something you can make payments on. It's not something that you get charged a fee for. This isn't something for sale. And so, although Simon thinks, like probably a lot of people do, that money is equal to spirituality, and if I have a lot, then I should be able to make some spiritual decisions and kind of guide things and all that kind of stuff, but that's the way Simon thought. And so you get the contrast of that, where God is a generous Father who gives freely of himself to people, defined as the Holy Spirit of God, and now here's a fellow who offers to buy the Holy Spirit, and he gets rebuked for offering to buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy it. It's not for sale. You can't use corruptible money to gain some spirituality here, or gain the Holy Spirit of God. So defining the it is very important. When Jesus Christ says, "Ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened," and then he defines the it as the Holy Spirit of God in Luke. And then what goes on from there, look over here in Romans chapter 5. You're in Acts, go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:15. So the Holy Spirit is the gift of God, defined in Luke. Jesus Christ is also the gift of God. And notice, it's not for sale. Jesus Christ is not for sale. Romans 5:15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." You notice how many times he mentions free and gift and free, and it's free. God is a generous, giving God. And so he says, I will give you of myself. I will give you Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift. And we'll delve into the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God and how that manifests itself and how that works out. But you've got these gifts of God, and maybe they're a little bit disappointing when you find out, you know, it wasn't the, like I said, the new truck or the new TV or something like that. But what good is something like that if you don't have righteousness? What good is a great big house and all that if you have no peace in it? What good is a bunch of stuff if there's no joy with any of it? What good is all that stuff? What is he says over in Luke? He says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So God gives good gifts that are lasting gifts. He says over there in James, he says, you ask amiss because you're asking to consume this on your lust. But when God gives a gift, it's like righteousness. You can't purchase righteousness. It's like peace and joy. You can't buy those things. You can try to, but it'll be a great disappointment. Look over in John. I want to show you how this plays out. When Jesus Christ does his work, he's going to go back up to the Father, and then he's going to send down the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 15 and verse 26. John 15, 26. Now, think about what you're reading here. And if God's description of what he gives is good gifts, but my assessment is that they're really not that great or not really that important, I ought to line up my assessment of his gifts with what he said they are. And usually I don't think they're that important or that good because I've got some carnal desires that he's not satisfying. And so I don't really think he's that good because my lusts aren't being satisfied with these gifts. And so I think he should be doing something else, but the Lord says, here's the good gifts. This is what's defined as good. These are the things I'm giving you that are good things. And so what I'm saying is when we compare our own assessment of what God gives versus what God says he gives, usually our estimation of God's gifts aren't really as high as his estimation of his good gifts. He says, I'm giving you something good that you can't purchase. And we say, yeah, I can take that or leave it. And that's what most folks assess God's gifts as. I mean, you think about it. You tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And we'll get to John 15 in a second. You tell someone about Jesus Christ. Here is God's good gift of eternal life, of salvation in Jesus Christ. And you tell someone about Jesus Christ, and they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I think I'm pretty good. I don't really need that. So the assessment of God's good gift is really not as high as God says it ought to be. God says, I'm giving you something good, and a fella says, or a lady says, well, you know, I can take that or leave it. Meaning, I don't really believe that your good gift is all that good. It doesn't really quench my lust. It doesn't really put more money in my account. It just doesn't do things that I would expect it to do. And so the assessment of God's good gifts is, our assessment is way down here. And God's saying, no, this is, you can't get this anywhere else. You can't go to Walmart and get this. You can't go to HEB and buy this stuff. If I don't give it to you, you don't have it. If I don't give you righteousness, you don't have righteousness. If I don't give you eternal life, you don't have eternal life. So here's Jesus Christ, John chapter 15, and here's kind of the order of how these gifts show up or how they work. John 15, verse 26. Jesus Christ is talking. He's about to go to the cross. This is the night before he's about to die. Says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So Jesus Christ, after the death, burial, and resurrection, ascends up into heaven. And he says, if I don't ascend, I'm not going to send the Holy Spirit to you. But he ascends up into heaven, and he sends down now the Holy Spirit of God, who is defined as a gift of God, among other things. Jesus Christ is also defined as a gift, but the Holy Spirit of God in Luke is defined as the gift. So These are going to be spiritual gifts given through the Holy Spirit of God. And we won't do a whole study on all these spiritual gifts, but just to get you the idea of what's going on, when Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit of God, now what the Holy Spirit's going to do is going to be defined as gift-giving. That's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be gift-giving now. And so here's a couple of cross-references to that. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. And you really have, between Ephesians, between Romans, between 1 Corinthians, a layout similar to what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7. You've got a description of a generous God who gives gifts and then turns to the people and says, now, you've got a generous God who treats you the way he would want to be treated, so go out and you treat people the way you would want to be treated. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at that in more detail. Verse 8. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So that's Jesus Christ going up and now sending his Holy Spirit, who is going to be defined as a gift-giving Spirit of God. And what are the gifts that he gives to men? Skip down to verse 11. Not gifts you would think, though. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, so you've got Jesus Christ ascending. He sends down the Holy Spirit of God, giving gifts. He's going to give gifts unto men. Some of these gifts are defined in Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and some folks, just like in Jesus Christ, some folks appreciated the gifts God had gave and some folks didn't appreciate them. I mean, all the apostles die martyrs' deaths. So the world doesn't appreciate the gifts of God, but there are some people who did appreciate the gifts of God. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the point is, verse 12, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. What is that? It's a good thing. The perfecting of the saints is a good thing. The work of the ministry is a good thing. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and all that. All right, so you've got, here's some of the spiritual gifts defined. I'll show it to you again. Romans chapter 12. We'll go over in Romans chapter 12. And verse 5. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, remember, ask and it shall be given unto you, all that stuff. He's talking about gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he's going to say, let love be without dissimulation and all that, which is going to tie into the end of what we read in Matthew chapter 7. But he defines all these gifts: ministry, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, all these things as gifts of the Spirit that God gives. And you think about this way, when he describes the body, this is something hopefully help you. Well, hopefully it all helps you, but you, when you get saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God, you've got a gift that God gives you. Maybe a few, I don't know. Your connection to the body, like he mentions in 1 Corinthians and other places, but your connection, just like a nose is connected to the body in a certain way, your connection to the body is by that gift. That's how you're connected to the body. Just like an eye is connected to the body a certain way and it serves a certain function. If it were connected a different way, it wouldn't work that way. But the connection is part of the function that it serves. And your connection to the body is part of that spiritual gift that you're given, is how you're connected and how you're going to function in the body. That's what he just mentioned in Romans chapter 12. This is how a person functions in the body. Just like an ear functions a certain way, an eye functions a certain way, a nose functions a certain way. And so there is the gifts that God the Father has given and that a soul receives, starting with the gift of eternal life, and then gifts of the Spirit, which we just read about. Just like the body is made of many members doing a function, connected the way they're supposed to be connected by doing that function and all that, that's the same principle at work when God is putting together a body or a local body or the body of Christ. You're connected to the body, not only through the blood of Jesus Christ, but by the function that you serve. So when I say that, and folks say, I don't have any idea what my gift is, well, if you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you won't have any idea what your gift is. You'll have no idea what he's trying to do with you in the body until you yield to the Holy Spirit, and then you start to find, okay, this is what he's trying to do with me. This is the place I'm supposed to be. This is the service I'm supposed to perform. This is how I'm going to be connected to the body. And so just like a body is made up of many members, organized the way it's supposed to be organized, put together the way it's supposed to be put together, the same spiritual and the same principle applies with the body of Christ. The connection is part of the function of the member. So that's what he's mentioning in Romans chapter 12. If your gift is prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, and so on and so forth. So then he describes all these gifts, principle being this is how the person would be connected to the body. Look over in 1 Corinthians. I'll show you another part of this. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Matthew 7, what we just looked at. They're all going to be kind of the same template, describing a generous father, giving gifts, and then how those gifts are put to use. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, now watch this. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So God doesn't give any self-serving gifts. He doesn't give any gifts that would highlight you as a person. He gives gifts for the purpose of the body of Jesus Christ. So there aren't gifts, and some folks get into the you know, I want to show my gift, or you need to show your gift, or some of you guys have backgrounds in this, tongues and things like that, and really doesn't serve to edify the body. It just serves to show how someone is spiritual. And really, they're not spirits, just carnality. But there are, the point is, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit, he says, is given to every man to profit with all. That means outside of yourself. Not you. It's not going to build you up and make you the highlight of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. He's the highlight. But the gift is given so that it will serve in a function. I mean, how do you say the nose is more important than the ears? How do you say the eyes are more important than the mouth, or the mouth is more important than the arms? Or, I mean, if you lost something like that, it would be, you couldn't replace it with a mouth, or you couldn't replace it with an ear. If you lose a mouth, I mean, you can't replace that thing with something else. The point is, the function of these gifts is used to benefit other people. It's not used to highlight me as a person or any one particular person. And some religions and things like that, it's the gift is meant to build up the person and show the status of the person because he's able to do this and he's able to do that. And that's not a gift of God. A gift is meant to edify the body. And if people aren't being edified through what's going on, then that's not the gift of God. Because he's trying to minister edification to the body to build people up in Jesus Christ. And if what you're doing isn't building people up, if it's just building me up, it's not. That's not the gift of God. That's carnality. Let's keep going. Look in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He's putting together the body the way he wants to put it together. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. Then you have this. So you've got the generous Father. Just a little recap. God is a generous Father. He is the source of all good gifts. And then he defines those good gifts. Number one is Jesus Christ as a gift of God, the gift of God. In Luke, he defines the good gifts as sending the Holy Spirit of God, or putting of himself now into people and giving his own gifts to these people. You see that in Romans 12. You see that in 1 Corinthians 12. You see that in Ephesians 4. Now let's go back to Matthew and see the end of this thing and then make some more application to it. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 7. All right, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things, now therefore means because I've said all this, here's the application of all this. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So God is a generous Father. He gives good gifts. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've been given a good gift. And what he's going to tell the apostles at one point in time here in the near future in Matthew, he's going to say, freely you've received, now freely give. I gave this to you freely, now freely give. And that's what he just said in 7:12. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So you've got this logic here where God is a giving Father. He gives of his good gifts. And then he turns around and tells those that have received the good gifts, all right, now you've been treated this way. Now go out and treat other people this way. You've been given these good gifts. So watch it in these other chapters. Look over in Romans. Let's see over in Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12, after he lists all the spiritual gifts that he's going to list, then he says this. On the heels of describing the gifts in Romans 12, say verse 8, or he that exhorteth on an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And that's kind of the end of the gift giving. Now look what he says. Deals with charity. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honoring, in honor preferring one another. That's what he just said in Matthew 7:12. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. What is that golden rule? What he just said in Matthew 7:12? The way you want to be treated, that's how you treat other folks. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The format of Romans chapter 12 is the exact same as Matthew 7. Here's a good God who gives good gifts. Here's the good gifts. Now you've been given good gifts. Go out and do likewise. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Same thing. Just to show you the format again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27. Kind of recaps all this. Gift giving. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? And that's rhetorical. No, they're not. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Again, rhetorical questions. But watch what he says after dealing with all the gifts. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know what 1 Corinthians 13 is going to describe now? Love, charity. And he's going to describe everything that was mentioned, I mean, in a lot more detail though. But what Jesus Christ just said in Matthew chapter 7, God is good, he gives good gifts, you've been given good gifts, now go out and give those good gifts freely, you've received, freely give. And so the format is the same in Romans 12. Here's the good gifts. Now let's deal with how those gifts are administered. Let's deal with your attitude about those gifts. Then 1 Corinthians 12, here's all the good gifts. Not everyone has all the gifts, but they're dispersed how God wants to disperse them. And then he's going to say, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Here's the better way. You've got good gifts, now here's how to administer all those. The same way Jesus Christ and God the Father have administered them. So one more verse, and really one more verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, First Peter chapter 4, because Peter will delve into this too. First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. First Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." So as you got it, minister it. That's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 12. You got it this way, freely give, freely you've received, freely give. Then he says in verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So he describes, it's the way God describes these things over and over. God is generous. God is good. He is the source of all good gifts. And he'll give. I mean, when you got saved, when you got righteousness from God, you got righteousness from God because you asked for righteousness from God. When you got the Holy Spirit of God, you may not have known all that it entailed and all that stuff, but he did say righteousness was one of those things. But when you got the Holy Spirit of God, you got the Spirit of God because you asked for it. You ask for Jesus Christ to wash you in the blood, to clean you up. Lord, help me be a Christian. Help me live right. Help me follow the words of God and all that stuff. You may not have known all that was entailed, but you got salvation. You got eternal life. You got righteousness because you asked for it, not because you bought it. You didn't pay for it. You don't write a monthly check for it. There's no subscription to it. You got it because you asked for it. And so that gift of God, he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Those things are things you get because you ask for them. So when Jesus Christ says, "Ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you," and he defines what he's talking about, the it there, and then you see all these gifts that the Holy Spirit brings with him the whole purpose is to form the body of Christ the way he wants to form the body of Christ. And when you trust Jesus Christ, God gives you a gift by the Holy Spirit of God, not only of eternal life, justification, righteousness, but he gives you some part, some membership in that body where you play some part of it. And that's how you're connected to the body. And so he says, now it's been ministered to you this way freely. Now freely disperse that gift. Without begrudging, without all those other things that would go along with it, do it the way God gave it to you. Because God, the Father, treats people the way he would want to be treated if he were in your shoes. And so Jesus Christ says in Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, you go out and treat people the same way that you've been treated by God the Father." So, I mean, it's that, like I said, that format shows up over and over. The gifts of God, generous Father, and now the expectation of the one who's received the gift. There's a little expectation there. There's some responsibility there. You've been given it a certain way. Now give it out. Now, if you don't know what your gifting is, if you don't have any idea what part you play, that's something between you and the Lord, and has to do with submitting to the will of God. It has to do with yielding to the Holy Spirit of God so he can guide and direct that.